It's good to be with you once again on this Sunday morning, and we appreciate your time very much. This is Robert Rawson, preacher for the congregation located at Crockett Church of Christ at 7458 Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi, 38668. We invite you to come and worship with us, if you can, on Sunday mornings, 9:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. on Sunday evening. We hope that you'll certainly make yourself available that opportunity to come and visit and see some wonderful people there and meet some people who really want you to hear the Word of God and know the Word of God very vividly. Thank you for your time today. The Bible plainly teaches us to follow what Jesus says. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus illustrates how the people who follow His will are like a wise builder who built his house upon a rock, and the foolish are those who hear His sayings and do them not, and how that they are building upon the sinking sand. The idea is to be people who serve the cause of God as He has illustrated it and as He has taught it in His holy word. Once again, it is our determination to study the Word of God in comparison to the context in which it is found and the definition of words that our Lord gave at that time. You know, the words that are used in the Scripture are words that are used for help. And as we are helped in the Bible, when it tells us do not do certain things in life, then we should shun those ways of life. We should shun those temptations to do those kind of things that are thereby illustrated what we should not practice at all. Such things as idolatry, witchcraft, our own work of life and our own ways of life are foolishly done. Referred to in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22, as works of the flesh, which they who do such things, he said, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If we're going to be in the kingdom of God and be there eternally at that end, we'll be people who are practicing what the Lord has said. And if we are not practicing what the Lord has said, though we may have heard it, though we may have understood it, though we may have intended to, but we never got around to obeying what the Lord has said, we'll find ourselves rejected of Him at the last day. For Jesus plainly says, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." The same calamities of life and troubles of life came upon each man whose house was built. The one built upon a rock withstood, and the one built upon the sand fell, and great was the fall of it. When your life and mine are people in life who find ourselves not practicing what the Lord has said, not getting around to it, not really deciding to get on to it, not really to be obedient to it, then we find ourselves not doing what we've heard and what we've learned from Him that we should practice in life. When Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 13, how He raised the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there were various replies that were made about various prophets and various ones that taught in days gone by. And then Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter quickly gave a reply, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that is, Simon, son of Jonah. "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And thus he went on to say that the Father revealed to him that he was the Son of God. And thus he is the Savior of the world. And thus the opportunity for you and me to follow God's will is furnished by Jesus' teaching in His Word. When Jesus said, "This is the way that I want you to follow and do," He's saying this is the word that the Father wants you to follow and do. And in John 12 at verse 49, Jesus said, after saying in John 12, 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." He said on to say, "For these words are not my own, They're not my own, but the Father gave me these words to say unto you. The Father's words were the words that Jesus used to say to people that they need to practice a way of life, a certain way of life, a certain way of doing. And to get into idolatries and various types of jealousies and various types of sinful ways of life may be a desire on the part of some human flesh and human ways of life. But as it is described in Scripture, this is building upon the sand and not upon His Word as we do what we do in life, desiring to be what we are in the service of God, no, in the service of self. Then in Galatians chapter 5, when he said regarding the ways of life or the ways of the flesh, he says, or the ways of sin, he described these things as worldly ways of life, worldly decisions made in life, worldly pleasures in life, and he says that these are the ways of sin, wrongdoing. He said, they that do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You'll not be in the Lord's kingdom at the last day, at the last time. In 1 John chapter 1, reference is made to those who get into Christ in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If they're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son, it's a wonderful blessing that they have. And when they sin, it is said, we have an advocate to the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he goes on to say to us there in 1 John 1 and also in chapter 2, how that we can live forgiven of God. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to observe, this is not said just to anybody in the world. This is said to those that are in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Read there in 1 John 1. And verses 4, 5, and 6, we're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And when we obey the Lord and come into fellowship with the Father and the Son, we're practicing a certain way of life, a certain code of life, by way of doing what we do in life from day to day. And if we confess our sins, if when we sin and do wrong, we find ourselves confessing that we've run wrong, we've been doing wrong, we've been doing our will instead of God's will, please forgive us, Lord. He will hear our confession and that He will pardon our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that statement about cleanse us from all unrighteousness, unrighteous conduct, of course, are those things that happen to us in life from day to day, and we get tempted by those things. The unrighteousness of the world, the unrighteousness of sin and wrongdoing. And then we get into a practice of sin, a practice that brings us ultimately death. And that's a sad thing for those who can know God's will and follow His will. And it is said there, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll help us to deal with future temptations and trials. The unrighteous things of life will not be as strong. They'll not be as decisive on us doing that way of life, telling a lie, telling falsehoods, getting involved sensually with other people. We'll find ourselves being the people of God as we go forth from day to day. And as we do that, He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, some people think that that's the way in which they come into Christ, that that's the way in which they come into the blessings of Christ Jesus, and that they simply say a prayer and they ask the Lord to forgive them, and thus they say a certain words of that prayer and call upon Him to forgive them, and instantly it happens to you and me. But that's not what the Scripture does say for us. It talks to those who are in the fellowship already with the Father and the Son in 1 John 1. They are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And when they sin, when they confess their sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful blessing to those individuals. And it's a wonderful blessing for you and me that we know where to go and what to do with our sins. Otherwise, what we'll do with our sins is forget that we got them. We'll pretend that they're not present with us. We'll pretend that they don't have any effect on us. And as a result, we go on and practice that way of life continually again and again and again in our walk of life. That's hardly the way that we ought to go and hardly the things that we ought to do in life, even those that lived under a different law. For example, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. She was guilty of sin and wrongdoing. She was not living with a man that was her husband. And Jesus said that to her, and she said, "I perceive you are a prophet." And Jesus says to her and notes to her that she go her way and sin no more. She doesn't need to be a practitioner of sin and wrongdoing with a man that's in her life that which she is not married. And as a result, she should repent of that way of life. She should turn from that way of life right here and right now with her way of life that she's practicing. She was living under the old law, living under the law of Moses, living under the animal sacrifices that were necessary for the pardon of sin from one year to another. And Jesus knew that that was the role of the lady in her life, and that was a practitioner of that day and time. But now then, He came to give us a New Testament. And when He gave the Great Commission and gave the Great Lord the Word, He gave that Word to you and to me today. For you and I can follow that way. Jesus said, "All authority," in Matthew 28, verse 18, "all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Teach all nations of people to follow the way of God, to follow the will of the Lord, to practice that way of life in our own way of life and doing. As we do that, we find ourselves in a newfound relationship with God the Father. We have a relationship with the Father and the Son now. We have a wonderful blessing that we have in Him. And thus Jesus said, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned." In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, He notes the importance of us being baptized into the death of Christ and raised to walk in newness of life, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6. That new way of life was a new way that they could walk and they could practice a way of life that they were true to God and true to His way. And that's the way of life that they should do. Let us not be people who practice a way of life assuming that God is okay with it, assuming that He's never said anything about it, that He would practice that way of life that we're practicing, that He would do that sort of thing with us. To the fact of the matter is that He would find Himself not doing that way. We would not be acceptable to Him if we practiced that way on and on in life. Then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when these who had murdered the Son of God were got together, and they were there and see that the apostles were endowed with a great power of the Holy Spirit to speak in languages they had never studied and to speak in their tongues the wonderful works of God, Acts 2 at verse 8 and Acts 2 and verse 11. You'll notice that they heard them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Notice that they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" As they were told that they had killed the Son of God, that they had done what they should not have done, that they had crucified Him on the tree, and that was something that they needed now to repent of and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice that these brethren on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 and following, were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Did they tell them what Jesus said to do, or did they tell them what they wanted to tell them to do? Well, they told them what Jesus said to do. When He said, "You go in all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Notice clearly that these people were saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You need to obey what Jesus said do. And Jesus said for you to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and endowed them with powers to speak in languages they had never studied. And as a result of that, the people said, "How do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful work of God?" That was a wonderful question to ask. And the answer to that question came in saying, we need to follow the way of the Lord. We need to be His person. We need to follow His teaching and His way on and on in life. It says there in Acts 2, when they received His word, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 on the day of Pentecost obeyed this gospel, repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins. They had a wonderful blessing to come upon them and a wonderful way of life of forgiveness that they now were enjoying. And that way of life they followed. And the early church was a church that the Lord added daily to the church, such as should be saved. Acts 2, verse 47. He added daily to the church, such as should be saved. Notice that there were more that could be added. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost was but the beginning. They could have others that were added, and as a result, they could all be in this great fellowship with the Lord in His church. Later on, when Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 16, he says in verses 15 and 16, for them to be people who follow the way of the Lord. And he says in Romans 16 and verse 16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And he goes on to say that those who receive not this word and do not practice this word are those who are condemned. They need to hear and they need to obey this word of the Lord. They need to practice this way of the Lord. And he says, regarding those who do not follow this way, he said they'll often get over into false teachings for you. And as you hear them teach these false messages, messages that are not from God, messages not of the Lord, messages not revealed in His Holy Scripture, he says for you to be people who correct them and who call upon them to change what they're teaching in the name of mankind as though it is the name of the Lord. It is not the name of the Lord. He says if you hear them teach things that are not the message of the Lord, you correct them. You change that way of life. You do not fellowship that way of life. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. People here who come to the Lord and want to be servants of the Lord are simple in their request. They want to know the Lord's will and practice the Lord's will. But these do not teach you the Lord's will. The Lord's will is not being taught by them. They're teaching them on their own way and their own teaching. He says that they teach that which is for their own belly and for their own fair speeches that deceive the hearts of the simple. Deceiving people right and left is what's done in the religious movements of our day and time. They have names of churches after themselves. They have names of doctrines for their church. They find themselves following a way that is a way of God. No, a way of the world. A way of the world. And as a result, they're not people following the way of God at all. And they deceive us when we find ourselves as members of those particular churches, those particular religious names, those religious ideals. We find ourselves deceived as a result of the practice of those things in our lives. Paul writes to the brethren of Thessalonica how important it is for them to stay with what they have learned and follow the Lord's way. He says regarding them in life, if they are people who follow the way of the Lord, they'll find ultimate salvation and ultimate wonderful blessings of the Lord. The same as he says in 1 John chapter 1, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then he goes on to say this in this regard, that if we add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance, patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love, if we add these things to our daily walk of life, and it'll take a daily walk of life to add these things, it won't be done in just one day and one time, one practice, but it'll be done over and over again in our daily walk of life, What he says will happen to us is that so an abundant entrance shall be administered to you into the everlasting kingdom. You'll enter into that everlasting kingdom of God. You'll be with Him forever and ever on life's other side. But if you don't practice that way of life that He says, then you'll never practice that way of life eternally, because you're headed toward that eternal kingdom as you obey Him and add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. When you add these things to your life, and you become strong in these things, he says regarding this matter, so an entrance shall be administered to you into the everlasting kingdom. But what about a person who doesn't get on to practicing that way of love? Doesn't get on to practicing that way of peace? Yet does not get on to practicing that way of unity in Christ? Why, that way of life is the way of God. He's not practicing the way of God in his daily walk of life. And what's he getting into? He's getting into deception and following a way that is not of God. Now you can see that I have gone throughout the scripture today in reference to Jesus' statements and reference to statements of Paul, statements of John in regard to how to live and how to practice what God has said in order to be pleasing in His sight and blessed of Him eternally in heaven itself someday. Why did I not go to the Old Testament of the Bible today? Well, the Old Testament of the Bible prepared us for the coming of the Christ. In reading the patriarch system and in reading the Mosaic law, we read there through the book of Malachi in the Old Testament of the Bible. But when Jesus came, He came to teach the way of God. He came to proclaim a way by which we will ultimately be judged by Him. And ultimately we'll find ourselves blessed of God if we follow His way as we go through life from day to day. James will tell us a very practical way of living. And the book of James, the practical way that he tells us to live, is to watch for those individuals who find themselves in wrongdoing around us. They claim to be in Christ, they claim to be of God, and they practice a way of life that is not His way. And He says to those people at that day and time, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The way other people are living is a way that they can tempt us to live the same way. We see them getting away with it in this earthly life. We see them not changing a way of life. We'd find them never sorrowed about their ways of talking and doing. He says that'll deceive you into thinking that that's the way of life that you can practice too. And he says, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. How do we go about restoring them? We restore them because we come to speak about the things that they say, the things that they're practicing, the way of life that they're doing, and ask them, where does the Word of God in the New Testament of your Bible, in the teaching of Jesus and His apostles, where do they approve what you're practicing? Where do they approve the way that you talk? Where do they approve the way that you go and do? Where do they approve what you drink into your body? Where do they approve the way that you practice a way of life that you're following? When they can't find that way, they'll be embarrassed by it. They'll say, oh no, you're just talking to us about things that you want to be religious and holy roly and that's all they want. No, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be the spiritually minded that James talks about. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And in that meekness, I want to say, where does the Word of God approve what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're practicing, the religious walk and how you're worshiping? How does the Word of God, where does the Word of God approve that way of life? In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning verse 19, he writes about a wonderful way of worship. He talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What does he say to do? He says to be a person who sings and makes melody in our heart to the Lord. He didn't say to sing and make melody on a harp, but in our heart to the Lord. Sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. And speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We're to speak to one another, encouraging one another. By the words that are said in the songs that are encouraged to you and me, the preacher there, the various individual members there, we find ourselves being challenged by those words to be people who follow the cause of the Lord. And as we sing those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we sing and make melody in our heart ultimately to the Lord. We sing and gratefully sing words of thanksgiving for Him, for providing us a way of life that we can follow, that we can practice, that we can enjoy in this world. As we began this lesson today, we began it with the words and ideals of what Jesus said in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? How can we say that we're following Him when we're not following what He has said in life? Someone may say, well, I really don't know what the Lord has said about the subject of salvation or the subject of worship or the subject of peace in my life. Well, then it's time to open that book of books and begin in Matthew and read where we see what Jesus has said. And as we find what Jesus has said, we find a way that we can live and practice that is of God and of the righteous things of God. And it will be a wonderful blessing furnished to us and to all of our family. You know, most of the time our young people in family begin to practice a way of life that they've seen imitated in their moms and their dads as they lived and as they associated one with another from day to day. It was a shame for them to hear the false statements made and the rough words that are used and the rough mannerisms that are employed, and change a way of life that you're changing. Change a way of life that you're doing. Because the Lord wants you to practice a way of life before your children and your children before you, that you are appreciative of them following your example and following that example into their marriages and their home life and to their home life of ways of doing for their children too. This is the way of God. This is the way of the Lord. And if we do not do what He says, how is it possible for us to say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things that He says? Remember people needing salvation from sin. They need to come into Christ. And notice that in Christ they find that new way of life in Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. As they find that new way of life to practice, they're practicing a way of life that is of the Lord and of the Lord's way. And Jesus said that's the word that will judge us in the last day, John 12:48-49, because it is the word of the Heavenly Father. We thank you today for your study of the Bible with us and trust that these verses will be useful to your life in making a change that is the change that God wants you to make. Thank you for your time. This is Robert Rawson.